Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
Never filtered, always fun.
You're doing your audience a disservice if the O-Dog doesn't show up tomorrow with the cone.
With the cone around his head where he can't lick himself. Like, Mike, I got a question about the power play. And the cone's rubbing up against the microphone.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official playoff voice of the Leafs.
Do yourself a favor, okay? If you're on the roads right now and you don't have the ability to stream the show online, tsn1050.ca, or just go to the main page, tsn.ca. We stream the whole show, right?
Yes, we do.
So you can watch us at any time. We're in here. Now, we're up on TV at 6 p.m. on TSN2. I hope people are aware of that. If you're not, start checking us out on TSN2, unless you're listening on the radio, of course.
Correct.
But if you have the opportunity to get to tsn.ca, do so right now, because the O-Dog, our little buddy, he has a cone, a dog cone, around his head.
I can't keep wearing it, though. I can't.
I don't think it's going to work. I don't think you can broadcast.
Why not?
Like, I can't. Like, I don't want to do... I can't.
You can lean in and just talk close to the microphone. That's all you need to do.
I'm not... I can't.
Any update on the symptoms? They were foaming at the mouth last night.
I'm not even kidding. Yesterday, I got home. I had cold sweats. My nose started to get stuffy. And I'm like, I might have rabies. But then it went away. Right before I went to bed, I just, sign of the cross, thank you, Lord.
Well, did you do the Hal Gill?
No.
You should do the Hal Gill.
There's no more Hal Gilling.
What is the Hal Gill?
Scotch.
Two fingers, three finger pour of scotch. Yeah. That'll get rid of everything.
Didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't think we can continue this. We'll put it back on later.
We're not doing that.
It's probably hot, too.
Imagine being a dog and having to walk around.
That's
like, imagine you're a dog and you've got dog bar play.
You just want to scratch your god darn ear.
Or something else. Or get after something else.
The cone doesn't have to... If you scratch your balls, you don't need the cone.
You can't get after anything. If you're a dog and you have that cone...
If you're a dog, you can scratch your balls. You don't need... The cone is not around your balls. It's around your head.
But that's the point, though. Dogs, you don't... You realize how dogs, like... clean themselves and lick everything and all that kind of stuff.
Nuts.
Yeah, basically. And if they have a cone, a dog cone, it doesn't work. It can't happen.
I'm not putting that thing back on.
I really feel for dogs that have to do that.
We've got enough video evidence and pictures. Don't worry.
We'll be posting on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
At TSN1050 on Instagram. On Twitter, at Overdrive1050. Ray's going to be in studio today. Someone texting in right before the show said, "What's up with trivia? Like, are we doing this or not?"
Who's the next?
Ray and Chris Cuthbert were supposed to be next, but they don't have any balls, so they don't come in.
Well, I think that would be a... CC is like Cliff Clavin. This guy is a wealth of information.
Yeah, but he doesn't know about other countries and stuff.
I think he can tell you
who caught a pass in the CFL.
No, he could do that.
Years ago,
Chris Cuthbert is a man well traveled, well versed, well educated.
No.
And our buddy Ray is quite a sharp tack too.
Well, he'll tell you that. I'm not sure.
If those two nerds didn't intimidate us, no one will. CC and Ray are not nerds.
No, they're not.
They have the intelligence of the people that you were talking about.
I think you're undervaluing what we've already accomplished. Do you realize that we're 2-0 against nerds?
Yeah, but against the same...
Team eye test just guts it out.
Right. Team Corsi got dummied. Because as Mike Babcock would say, it's not time for skill, it's time for will.
Well, you guys willed. You did very well.
Crap.
I witnessed one of them. I sat there in the middle and witnessed one of them.
Well, we'll get Ray going today. We'll see what's up with that, because I'm not convinced Chris Cuthbert really exists.
You know what?
Because he's never here. I never see him at TSN.
Yeah, but those guys don't have to be. Like, why would Chris Cuthbert be at TSN? He calls games on the road.
He can do whatever he wants, but every once in a while.
We'll do a makeshift small trivia session today. You're going to represent Team Eye Test, And Ray can represent Team CC.
I'll come up with some questions then.
All right. I
we'll
like
get
this
Tyler
idea.
On this and then.
No, that would make him have to look at something on the computer.
Well, he's all right. He came up with that cone.
He got the dog
bunch
collar.
Of people. Thank you to everyone that delivered the cones. Like multiple
there was,
cones.
There was people
delivered.
That delivered cones to the studio.
Yeah, shout out to anybody that tunes into the show and is that dedicated to the show that you wanted to see pictures and video of the O-Dog with a cone
gonna,
around his
how
head.
How are you going to even label that?
Danny Gujuan dropped one off.
You
he
took
texted
a picture
me last night.
You took a picture of it. Like, how are you going to label that? Hard at work? O-Dog, hard at work?
I don't know. I'm going to put it up on Instagram, and I guess it's a story because I was actually taking a video. So if you want to see the O-Dog preparing for the show, he might have rabies. He's got the cone on. Check it out on Instagram, at HayesTSN1050, or check out TSN1050's Instagram account as well. The NHL playoffs beginning tomorrow night.
Excitement.
I'm pretty jacked up for this. And it's a little bit different. It feels different this year than past years where they're starting a little bit slower. Like three games opening night, five games on night two.
Is that, I mean...
I always think of it as the opposite way.
But isn't building, it's got to be building availability?
Oh, of course it is, for sure. Right. Like, that's the case in Boston.
Right.
The Celtics are playing tomorrow night, so you can't play.
Right. I would have liked to see the Leafs start tomorrow.
You'd prefer opening night?
Selfishly, you want opening night, let's get after it. Like, but I'm fine with Thursday, Saturday. Obviously, they would like a Saturday night. You know, I don't even know if it matters in the playoffs in Canada as far as...
It doesn't. Like, game three is on Monday night,
yeah.
But downtown is going to be...
Packed.
Rocking.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when we were downtown for game three a year ago, and I can't remember which day it was, but it was probably a Monday or a Tuesday.
And,
I remember getting downtown around 2 o'clock, and people were already out and about. And
well, the weather was better, too.
That's
what stinks. It's snowing. Like, that's ridiculous.
That doesn't help, the fact that the weather is this bad and, you know, patio season.
It's not
going
to change anything, but it still rattles me a little bit. I mean, I'd like to see a little bit better weather so people could, you know, tailgate or sit out on a patio, have a couple pints, head to the game. Like, everything's better with nice weather. You roll outside and, you know, if you have to bundle up, people get pissed.
But that's part of the grind, right? If we're lucky enough to have them playing into the second, third round, cup final, eventually it's going to get nice.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It'll be...
It's almost a part of the journey.
Yeah.
Like, we got to start with 4 degrees and snowing, but hopefully by the end of it, it's 25 and sunny. And you talk about the buildup. I mean, I can't really remember what it was like. I really can't. Like, and I was a diehard Leaf fan living in Toronto back in the early 2000s, I can't remember what it was like for them to win a round.
I can remember, but I didn't partake in... Like, my buddy from King City, we went and watched one game in the playoffs. It might have been a game against Detroit, maybe St. Louis, but we ended up in Woodbridge. And this was like out of Jersey Shore. It was my buddy David Marcelli. He had these Italian guys that he hung out with in Woodbridge. The game ended. It was a big goal. It might have been Borshevsky or something. These guys stood up, high-fived, and they all ran to their cars. Do you know where they went?
Right down Yonge.
Yeah, I'm like,
right down Yonge.
Dave, we're doing this too? And they all took off on us. We couldn't. I'm like, is that like a protocol?
I did that. I remember when I was a kid, when they won series, I would go downtown because it was wild downtown.
Yeah.
It was wild up and down Yonge. It was like absolutely bedlam.
I was like, this is a loser move.
Well, believe me, it's not the coolest move in the world. Like,
I wonder if Joe from the Bridge still does that. You think?
Well, they haven't won anything.
He hasn't had an opportunity to do that.
That's the point.
That orange Camaro can't go that way.
It's an El Camino or whatever. What does he drive? It's an El Camino.
It's a Mustang.
It's a Mustang, I think.
It's orange.
They haven't won a round in 14 years. So how would I know? I don't remember. I don't know. I'm not going to do it anymore. I was 20 years old, 21 years old. Of course I'm going downtown. You know, people are buzzing. There's people out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it anymore, but I would assume it's going to happen, but... It's all younger people for the most part.
The soccer people go nuts on college, isn't it?
Like, well, during the World Cup you're talking about? Like, yeah, I don't know how that works.
I believe Steph's father and brother like go driving around there somewhere. Like, you know, Italians. I don't know what it does. When they win, Don't probably, they go honking their horn with their flags
when
somewhere?
They won the World Cup, that would happen.
Where did they go? They go on college? Is it on college somewhere?
Probably on college. Like St. Clair's got kind of a little Italy going on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm...
When Greece won, was it the Euro of like 04 or 06? Like, the Danforth would have been just Vegas back on New Year's. Like, it would have been just absolutely outrageous to witness that. Like, yeah, it would have been a great experience. I would love to see that. But only the Leafs have really supplied that kind of atmosphere and lose-your-mind type reaction to them winning series, because when the Raptors have won series, we haven't seen that. People don't parade up and down
young. What about the Raps? Like, is that more, not for lack of better words, because I know they have a massive following, but more of a niche, not niche, because it's they're massive in Toronto. But like,
I guess it's just a different tradition. No one really decided to bring it to the Raptors, and the city didn't have the same euphoria that came with them winning a series.
The Raptors go deep this year, they better have that type of hysteria, because they're a good team.
Well, they got a much better chance of going on a deep run than the Leafs, just simply based on who they're going to play.
Well, in the first round, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. In the first round, like, they're probably going to play Washington, and the Wizards are a disaster right now. They hate each other. They've lost 8 of 10 down the stretch. You know, it won't be easy, but they'll be big favorites, where the Leafs are playing a team that some would describe as the best team in the league.
Right.
Like, Boston's right there in the conversation.
Yeah. No, they're there. I mean, I believe we may do this on the show as far as the toughest series to pick a winner.
You guys have an X factor in the series?
Well, I mean, do you want to say outside of goaltending? Because it's always goaltending.
Outside of goaltending. Give me an X factor. Or do you want me to give mine first?
Well, I think Ray said yesterday his was Zaitsev.
He had Zaitsev. I got one in mind, but go ahead.
Go ahead. I'd like to hear yours.
Mitch Marner. I think Marner's got a dance.
You understand the playoffs is not about dancing.
Well, why not, though? Patrick Kane danced. Like, that's what I heard. Like, I was joking about Babcock's comment earlier today, where he's like, it's not the skill time, it's the will time. Actually, it's both. Like, yeah, you got to back check harder, you got to check harder, you got to be more responsible.
Right.
But you still have to play with skill.
Yeah,
you still have to be talented.
No, you can't be a robot goon out there and chase.
Look at Phil over the past 2 years. Phil is not Bob Gainey, but Phil is incredibly effective because he scores points.
Well, time factor.
But I got Marner. I think Marner's got pressure on himself too because of the way he played in the playoffs a year ago.
I wouldn't disagree with the Marner. I want to say it's somebody from the back end, because I think skill's going to be there. Like, I think there's going to be nights where you know Marner, Matthews, Nylander,
who's your
JVR.
Pick?
I was going to say Morgan Riley. Like, Riley or Gardner. I think Riley's
Gardner could be more
I was
going to
say Gardner, because Riley's consistent. Gardner is either, you know, he's one or the other.
It's one of those words that's not really good for a defenseman, unpredictable.
Yeah, Morgan Riley, I pretty much know what I'm going to get from him night in and night out, because he's such a great skater. He's hard on the puck. Like, yeah, he's probably going to make mistakes, and everyone does. But with Jake, he, and it's funny, Babcock, his comments about Jake all the time, his high hockey IQ out there. Like, I almost feel like he's talking. Everyone into it.
Well, or he's trying to convince himself.
Exactly.
Too.
But there's times
everybody.
Because I'm thinking, okay, I think Jake reads the ice very well, but there's times where his reads, he forces things, or he delays on it, where he'll make a bad play at a bad time. So Ray Bourque used to do it. And when Ray's in here, we can bring it up. Like, Ray Bourque's nickname used to be Giveaway Ray. So for
once a game, a pizza up the middle.
Right. For 30 great plays, and then you get the one. But all you remember is the one. And I think Jake Gardner's gotten to a point here in this market is people remember that one.
They do. They focus on it a lot.
He just doesn't get enough credit for the 25 that he does well. So he could be an X factor for me, because I think Riley is consistent. I think Zaitsev is the guy who's tough to play against. We know what Hainsey is. We know what Polak is. Gardner's the guy who's...
So you got Gardner.
I got Gardner.
All right, I got Marner.
You got Marner. He's got...
Who do you have?
My X factor for the series is Mike Babcock.
Really?
Yeah. I just think that watching that team in the Olympics with all that skill, and guess how they played? Just a stifling defense. For some reason, I think that there's a chance that, and this guy knows how to game plan, he knows how to win, he's been through all kinds of situations. I just think that he's going to come up with a game plan, and if they execute it, they can win the series.
Yeah. So what would that be, though? Like, what can he do between now and game one, or game seven, I guess, if we're talking about his impact on the whole series?
I really don't know what that is. I'm not in that locker room, but I think that he gets paid $6 million to figure out a way to beat the Boston Bruins.
Absolutely he does. Absolutely he does. And to outperform a guy like Bruce Cassidy, who's had a great year. Right. But he's not a seasoned vet. Bruce Cassidy is not Scotty Bowman you're
going up against. Well, he's also not a dum-dum. It's not like he's going to get matchups where you're saying, Brucey, are you even on the bench?
No, he's not going to soil himself.
Hello.
But still, you've got an opportunity here if you're Babcock to try to dance him a bit.
I think he's that good of a coach, regardless of what you think of him as a guy, that $6 million coach has got to come up with a game plan to beat the Boston Bruins. And I think he can do it.
Well, I think he does have to make sure he doesn't fall in love with some of his quote-unquote playoff guys, like Komarov,
there is
like
no
Pollock.
Time in the playoffs to fall in love with guys. If they don't get the job done, they don't go on the ice.
But
is no time.
He sees jobs differently is the point I'm making. He sees Komarov finish a hit and block a shot, right. And he amplifies that, and then all of a sudden he's taking ice time away from JVR in a tie game late in the third.
Right.
And meanwhile, Komarov's not going to score if you give him a breakaway with an empty net, but JVR could be the guy who closes it. It's on Babcock to make sure that he doesn't step in his own way. Yeah. But that applies to every coach. They all have their favorites. But
they also, I think they have their game plan, and you're going to get to execute a little bit more of it on home ice because you get your matchups, you get your last change. But, you know, it's I always get really enamored when I talk to coaches in the NHL when they talk about certain players, especially if they're not going. I remember a coach telling me about Babcock one time in Detroit saying, yeah, he hid that player from me the whole series because the player either was injured or wasn't playing well. And I thought that was interesting because we wouldn't notice it unless we were looking for it, but the opposing coach was like, that player was never available for a matchup that I wanted. And it turned out after the playoffs, you know, the player came out and had a bad back or something, and you could tell he was off. But Babcock did a very good job of shielding him away from getting lit up in matchups. So Mike Babcock is an X factor, as is Jake Gardner, as is Mitch Marner, as is Auston Matthews.
And you can make a case for so many guys.
And here's the other thing. Frederik Andersen is.
And that's the obvious one. Tuukka Rask and Andersen, at some point, one of those guys, if not both of them, are going to steal a game or two.
I did their numbers today. It's amazing to see how close they are, not only even in the regular season, their last 20 games. Andersen has won 3 playoff rounds. Rask has won 5. Rask has gone to the finals, taken his team to the finals in 2013. So I gave him, on paper, a slight edge because of experience. And I said, Andersen is looking to do that with his team. That was my post-to-post for today. And it wasn't a slight edge on anything other than just a slight more experience. But if you're looking at the matchup in net, they almost are like looking in the mirror as far as their seasons. Now, the numbers, you can skew them any way you want. But like Andersen in his last 10 starts, he's 6-3. 6-3, doesn't have a decision in his last one. Where Tuukka Rask is 6-3-1. In their last 20, they're like 12-6-1, 13, whatever it is. 13. They're that close.
And that's what they are, right?
They're in the
same ballpark in terms of caliber of goaltender.
Yeah, the way that they've played, absolutely.
They're both really good goalies, and they have the ability to steal a series. They have the ability to go south from time to time.
Yep.
Tuukka Rask has been known for that throughout his career.
Rask had a bad start, so did Frederik Andersen. They both had bad starts to the season, and then they both had stretches where they were brilliant. And, you know, I think get down the stretch is tough to judge because there are games where, you know, they're throwaway games, and to me, Andersen had that little dip there where you were like, okay, he kind of looks a little bit uninterested, but he was a bit tired and got nicked up a little bit, but he'll be focused. He'll be focused come Thursday, and so will Tuca.
Yeah, both teams are going to be prepared. It should be a great series. Ray Ferraro will be in studio throughout the 5 p.m. hour. Might throw some props out when Ray's in here.
Yes.
Maybe a puzzle. We haven't had a puzzle on the show in quite some time.
Trivia.
Maybe some trivia. But we've got a big guest coming up, someone that we have been pursuing for quite some time.
Yes.
It is the second leg of the semifinals of Champions League tonight. TFC is in Mexico City playing Club America. There's a gentleman that's going to call in here who is not reporting on the game tonight. He's going to be there as a fan. His name is Sergio Dip.
He will be having the time of his life.
Having the time of his life.
We're going to catch up with him and get a read on what it's like in Mexico City, what to expect tonight. Did he beg ESPN for a second chance after having the time of his life?
Yep.
And just get into his whole story, because we play this clip maybe more than any other clip.
Yeah.
The Sergio Dip clip has been a big drop for us.
You have to wonder if he's embraced it or he's a little bit rattled.
We'll ask him about that. So we'll get into it with Sergio Dip. Speaking of reporters going to games as fans, did you guys hear about this story in Milwaukee with the Brewers game?
Punched a dude in the face.
You're not going to believe this story. This is Anchorman personified. We'll tell you about that next. Sergio Dip is coming up live from Mexico City, having the time of his life ahead of TFC Club America tonight. I got to get into this story here quickly, though, out of Milwaukee. So the Brewers were playing the Cubs on Friday night. It was Brewers-Cubs. That's a big game. Two good teams. Miller Park. Milwaukee's a gritty town. Beer-guzzling, cheese-eating,
just grit.
As unhealthy of a city as you can imagine.
Old Milwaukee, the beer.
Milwaukee probably has the least healthy reputation of any city in North America.
Really?
Wow.
Southern United States, too.
I was going to say, like,
you can buy a Coca-Cola the size of a Mini Cooper.
And in like where? Like Austin, Texas or somewhere?
Do you know,
like,
Pop Guy, by the way?
No.
Pop Guy drinks, like, there's people that drink pop all day.
Exclusively.
Yes.
Dude, there was a story out of the
I'd
NBA.
Rather be Booze Guy, and I'm not Booze Guy, but I would rather be Booze Guy than Pop Guy. Pop Guy just creeps me out.
You can't be Booze Guy, though, because then you're gooned up all
your
the time.
Yeah, bag, yeah.
You're right. What's another kind of guy?
Dart Guy?
Yeah.
You could be Dart Guy. You don't want that either.
No,
that's not overly healthy. But I'm telling you, man, like Mountain Dew, apparently there's something about Mountain Dew that is...
It's got like 185 calories.
It's so unhealthy. The amount
of Mountain Dew
syrup
is basically Red Bull.
It is. It's gross. There was a story I read a few years ago. I can't remember the NBA player. Can't remember who it was. We'll look it up. This guy was drinking upwards of 20 to 24 Mountain Dews a day. He would wake up in the middle of the night with a Mountain Dew Jones. He'd wake up, roll over, and slug a Mountain Dew and go back to sleep.
That's
how addicted he was to
Mountain
Dew.
That's a problem.
That's a real problem. Like, that's, you got to check yourself into rehab type problem. Imagine showing up at rehab. People trying to kick a heroin habit.
Yeah, yeah.
Booze, coke. It's like, what are you here for?
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew's got me going dirty, man.
got you going dirty.
Think you can get addicted to Mountain Dew?
Why not? You get addicted to coffee and stuff.
Coffee's caffeine, I guess. Well, Mountain Dew has caffeine and sugar.
Right.
Man, that's...
I think you guys are downplaying how unhealthy Milwaukee is.
Like,
I'm a Diet Coke guy. I'll drink Diet Coke.
I love Diet Coke or Diet Dr. Pepper. Those are my two.
Dude, I'll take you to North Carolina and take you to Biscuitville for breakfast.
Find a list back there, okay? Mulliner Hunt, find a list. I'll guarantee you Milwaukee is in the top five.
As far as unhealthy cities?
The most unhealthy cities in America.
Dude, if you ever want the heart to stop, there's a chicken place in Carolina called Bojangles. You go in there, you'll walk out and just fall flat in your face.
Oh, yeah? You know what they eat in Milwaukee? Brats. That's what they eat in Milwaukee.
Sausages?
Sausage and cheese.
But everything, yeah, deep fried, like, I think deep fried actually trumps the cheese and stuff.
I'll tell you.
You think? Yeah. For unhealthiness? Maybe you're right.
I think one of the greater things in life sometimes, like, I live right down on the water, downtown. If I'm just, like, chilling out on the couch and I get a growl on, I'm really actually focusing on my diet the last month. But prior to that, I would just walk outside, walk right in front of the Weston Harbor Castle and grab a sausage from a little vendor. You put some hot peppers on that and some mustard, it's heaven.
The old Phil Kessel.
Dude, that's garbage. Don't even say that. That never happened. So the...
You're calling fake news on that?
Yeah. Well, apparently it never happened. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it didn't happen the way it was originally reported.
I'm sure the guy didn't mind a dog once in a while like everybody else.
I'm not
a
street meat
guy. But
to go
and get a dog every day, that's aggressive.
I find that hard to believe. I found it hard to believe when the story originally came out. Street meat, yeah, I haven't had a hot dog at a vendor in years. There's something
really?
About it. It's very unappealing.
I have. Outside of the underground.
Well, you roll out of there at 2:30,
you'll eat anything.
You'll eat anything at that point.
Yeah.
All right, I got to get to this story later because we got to get to Sergio Dip
here.
He's in Mexico City.
Exactly.
He's waiting for us. But there were two goon reporters that worked for different companies. It was basically Ron Burgundy versus Wes Mantooth at the Brewers-Cubs game, and they fought over a woman who happened to work at one of their companies.
Right.
And it just turned into a gong show. So we'll tell you about this a little bit later, but we'll head down to Mexico City. It's TFC Club America tonight. Sergio Dip will join us in 2 minutes.
I'm sure Wes here is just upset over finishing second in the ratings again.
Alex sent us a tweet. I don't know if this is a reputable source, but the most unhealthy cities in America, and according to this list, Little Rock, Arkansas is number one.
Really?
But I got to be honest, I guess I'm off here.
I told you, dude, it's the southern United States.
But what's the most northern on there? Sorry to interrupt, but what's the most northern on that list?
Honestly, it's like Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's how north you get on this list.
Yeah, Louisville.
It's all Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, Alabama, Mississippi. You're right, the South is well represented.
I will tell you one thing that is completely delicious. My buddy got married down on the beach in Carolina, and there was something at dinner. Grits with sausage. I don't know what the hell else was in it. Sausage and grits. Amazing.
What are grits?
They're like...
Nobody knows. They just say it, but they don't know what it is.
It's like this kind of little mashed potato type of thing.
Yeah, it's like a... You know what polenta is?
No.
Like it's like grits is, yeah, it's like, it's not a mashed potato. It's
see, no, you guys don't know. You're talking completely out
of
your
asses. I've had grits before, but like, it's almost like an oatmeal, but like,
but grittier.
No,
it's oatmeal, but grittier. Nice explanation.
Exactly.
We've got to get the two Utes guy to describe the grits.
Yeah, we should do that. Get Pesci on the show.
Yeah.
All right,
we got the sound at least.
We got a guy on the line here.
Yes.
We've been trying to track him down for quite some time.
We love him.
We're a big fan of his work. We remember him from opening night in Denver.
Yep.
Broncos, Raiders. He does a lot of work with ESPN Deportes. He lives in Mexico City. My understanding is he's going to the game tonight. It's Club America TFC, but he's going as a fan.
Nice.
And we've been trying to catch up with him for quite some time, and we really appreciate him doing this. Here is Sergio Dip from ESPN. How you doing, Sergio?
Hey, Brian, Jeff, Jamie, I'm okay, guys. Thanks for having me. How are you?
We're doing really well, man. What's up down in Mexico City? You guys ready for a big game tonight or what?
Yeah. You can't imagine the expectation, man. Soccer's huge here in Mexico. And besides that, America being like the winningest club in Mexican soccer history. So you can imagine being 3-1 down, Estadio Azteca, like this place with so much history in it. So... yeah, it should be fully loaded, huh? Fully packed. So be ready for a great game, and the fans will play a huge part too today.
How's the stadium a factor for visiting teams? Isn't it like high up, the elevation? I don't know. They're talking about maybe that's going to be an issue for Toronto.
Yeah.
Is that actually a something or is that nothing?
Yeah, the altitude plays a huge role, and like I don't want to say something negative about my country, but I'd say pollution plays a big role too. All right.
I mean, Sergio.
Like for example, when Mexico plays the United States, that's our biggest soccer rivalry in national team wise, you know, what the Federación Mexicana de Fútbol does, which is like the Mexican Soccer Federation, is schedule the games not only in Estadio Azteca in Mexico City because of the altitude of the city, but they've been trying to schedule the games, let's say, for example, at night, so that after the 25 million people who live here, like, drive their cars and be around the city, like, on an everyday basis, what they do is bring pollution, and it becomes an important topic, you know. But besides that, besides the altitude and besides pollution, Mexican fans are loud, and, you know, we understand the game, and we're passionate about the game. So yeah, it does play a big role, and besides that, like, America is not used to losing, and I don't want to disrespect the MLS or a Canadian soccer team at all, but America is kind of disrespecting, you know. You've been hearing a couple of statements on the coach and the players and the organization, or whatever happened in the tunnel back there in Toronto last week. I don't know. You know, you guys were closer than I am, so you guys should know better. But in the end, I feel that Mexicans are kind of disrespecting the North American soccer in a way that they shouldn't, and it's coming back at us, man, you know?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. We're chatting with Sergio Dipp of ESPN Deportes. He's in Mexico City going to the game tonight, TFC taking on Club America. And I think Miguel Herrera, the manager of Club America, exactly, really caused a stir up here, man. I mean, I wasn't familiar with his act, but by all accounts, he's a character. He came up here, mm-hmm, and he was accusing cops of going after his players, and that didn't go over well here in Toronto. And I do get the sense like TFC is representing MLS, feels as if they are being considered too much of an underdog, or maybe being disrespected. And yes, they're going to have a chip on their shoulder tonight, and they're rolling in there up 3-1. If they can get a road goal tonight, I mean, this, what would the reaction
over,
be like,
man,
in Mexico City?
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. Like, the way we view things here in Mexico today is that if Toronto scores, not even in the first half, if they score whenever, you know, they got 90 minutes. The way I view it is Toronto has 90 minutes to score once. If they do, it's over. Because, and we know the way you guys counterattack, you know. I'm conscious of Michael Bradley, like, being this important guy who actually, when he, last time he played at Estadio Azteca, he scored a great goal. I don't know if you saw that, when for the U.S. soccer national team. He got the ball at midfield, and he just hit it from midfield, and he scored a great goal in a tie between Mexico and the States last year. So Michael Bradley knows what it's like playing in Estadio Azteca, and he scored in Estadio Azteca. Him in midfield with Osorio, and then Sebastián Giovinco, the way he carries the ball, like, all his personality, all this talent, and then Josie Altidore being the, in a good way, the beast that he is. Man, it's a tough night for America, and I actually think that Toronto is going to make it to the final, actually, because they got 90 minutes to score once, and then America has to score four goals, you know, because three won't be enough, and I think that's impossible with the way Toronto counterattacks. So I think it's actually going to be Toronto in the final.
Well, that's
we like hearing that.
Yeah, it's a great take. So we wanted to know how much your life changed after your night in Denver.
Well, you know, my personal life hasn't changed at all, you know. But in the end, I wouldn't be talking with you guys at TSN if it wouldn't be because of that, you know. So in the end, it's changed a little bit in my, let's say, day-to-day craft at ESPN. I host the Sports Center show every morning. I host NFL Live a couple of days in the week too, and I'm a soccer commentator too for various programs. But no, I wouldn't say it has changed at all. Probably, you know, the biggest change has been in social media. You know how things work in social media nowadays. So in the end, there's people that whatever. Let's speak about Twitter. I'm just watching Barcelona right now get eliminated by Roma in the UEFA Champions League. So if I tweet out right now, let's say Barcelona eliminated from the Champions League, somebody would say like, yeah, like you got eliminated the Monday night game, you know, like people are always coming back to that in a funny way and in a disrespectful way too, but I get it, man. It's part of the business, and in the end, it's been way better for me than people would imagine. Like it's brought way better things than bad things. That's for sure.
We're chatting with Sergio Dipp of ESPN Deportes again. We're talking about TFC in Mexico City tonight, and also his experience on opening night. Monday night, anyway, the second game of the doubleheader on ESPN. It was Denver-Oakland. He was on the sideline doing his thing. We've all heard it. We've all talked about it. And he's joining
really?
Us.
Really? Never thought about that, man.
Yeah,
even
we have,
in Canada,
man.
That's crazy.
Oh, we talked about it constantly. Like we honestly came in the next day and we said, we think ESPN should have given you another crack
absolutely.
At it.
Absolutely.
Like, were you begging for a second chance? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. I was ready, man. Yeah, I was ready. You know, in the end, ESPN's conclusion, like in Mexico and in the States, you know, for Deportes and for ESPN in America too, the conclusion was new voice, new face out of nowhere, you know, and that definitely had to play a huge role in that moment. But then I've always said I was way more excited than nervous. You know, there's nerves all the time, you know, when you're doing something for the first time. But I had been waiting for that for a long time, and I really, really say it, like mean it when I say that I was way more excited than nervous. But then everybody jumps to conclusions and you know, but I spoke to my producer during the game and I'm like, man, I'm ready, you know, like get me in the game. And they were like, man, we don't know what's happening, like trending topic worldwide, what the heck or whatever. So in the end, I respect my bosses and I was so appreciative of the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to have any other shot whenever. Like I had another chance, which, you know, nowadays, the way we live and the way the world is, like, good news don't make that much noise, you know. And
right.
I know you guys understand that.
Yeah, no, totally.
Working in sports media, so I had another chance. Like, come November 19th at Estadio Azteca, actually, the Patriots versus Raiders game, the international game, the NFL. Scheduled for Mexico City last season, and I got the chance to do that. Like if you're a reporter for ESPN in English and for the American public all day long and speak about the game and preview the game and during the game and social media things and post game Sports Center life hits or whatever, NFL countdown before the game. But you know, like, good news don't usually get the biggest headline, so. Probably nobody knew about that, but that was a good day, and that was like my revenge in the end. That was like my comeback story, at least for me, you know, and that gave me a lot of confidence moving forward.
Well, I don't think you realize how popular. You said you were trending worldwide, I get it, but there were a lot of people that instantly fell in love with you. I mean, you're young, you're a good-looking guy, and to me, I think you could almost trademark that catchphrase. Like, to me, if you don't use that...
Of life?
Yeah, yeah. So you like, need to be the guy who owns
that. That should
the
time be on T-shirts. Like that should be on T-shirts and hats and stuff.
They told me about that.
Own
they
it, Sergio.
They told me about that.
Own it.
In the end, I appreciate it, guys. You know, in the end, Brian, Jeff, Jamie, I really appreciate what you're saying. But yeah, like I don't want that to be like a, let's say, like a highlight of my career. I try to look at it as a stepping stone. Let's say it that way, you know. That's the way I try to view it, and I try to interpret everything. And in the end, like, I'm 29 years old, and I know there's a lot of bigger things to come in the end. And people got to know me, let's say, internationally that night, but I've been working for Mexican and Spanish sports media since I was 19 years old. So in the end, it's crazy, man. And it got crazy, and I'm expecting it to get crazier whenever I get another chance that big, you know?
Well, you go to the match tonight, and do you know what I want you to do?
Yeah, let me know.
Have the time of your life.
Crush it tonight, Sergio. Thanks for doing this, man. We'll do it again down the road. Enjoy the game tonight.
Sure. Take care, guys. Nice talking to you.
There's a Sergio Dip. I respect the rolling of the R's, man.
His bar play's got to be high.
I would think he goes to the bar. You know what happens? He has the time of his life.
Having the time of his life.
He's a good sport, man. He's came awesome. On. Listen, he's a young guy, and
he's going to be around. Well, I liked how he said he didn't, you know, I don't want that to be a defining moment in my career. But, I mean, to me, you've got to use something to, why not take advantage of it and springboard?
Own it
and move on. And I think that's what he did.
Absolutely. That should be on shirts everywhere.
I agree.
Everywhere. I'd happily wear that shirt.
I wouldn't have been happy if I was him that Monday night in Denver. It's like, okay, the first hit, we can all agree, and he would agree, it didn't really go that well.
They should have doubled down.
Give me another shot. Exactly. Like, that's what he said. He's like, I was begging for another shot. Absolutely. Like, throw back to me.
They didn't even do coaches'
him.
Interviews,
Nothing.
Anything.
He disappeared forever. He just went back to ESPN Deportes.
Right. Yeah.
All right, Ray Ferraro coming up in studio for the 5 p.m. hour. Bob McKenzie coming up. We've got Gary Thorne on the show, the voice of the Orioles. We're looking forward to that. The Jays are 7-4.
Yeah.
They're on fire.
Gibby up for manager of the year already.
Early. He's in contention early.
I've got him as my manager of the year.
Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.